Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up, I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. Today, we're doing a deep dive into some real tricky abdominal trauma scenarios that love to pop up on your shelf exam. We are focusing specifically on hollow viscous injuries, duodenal and pancreatic injuries, and the critical implications of the seatbelt sign.
You know it, Chris. These specific injury patterns are super high yield.
All right, let's kick things off with hollow viscous injuries like small bowel or colon injuries. Mars, what's the classic way these patients roll into the ED, and what should instantly raise our suspicion?
The most common presentation is often a patient with a blunt trauma and diffuse abdominal tenderness. What makes these super insidious is the potential for delayed free air or leukocytosis. The other way these present can be penetrating trauma, which is usually easier to diagnose, but blunt trauma is like a black box. You don't know what's going on inside.
So, why the delay? What's the pathophysiology behind these tricky injuries?
Good question. This can be from the direct impact, causing the bowel to perforate. Another way is that the bowel can shear off from the mesentery, therefore causing bleeding from the torn vessels and bowel ischemia. And these patients may get sicker on day 3 to 5 if the diagnosis is missed. This injury pattern is called a bucket handle injury. Imagine the mesentery is the bucket and the intestine is the handle. Another way bowel can be injured is that the bowel can tear at fixed points, such as the ligament of Treitz, the ileum, or the sigmoid colon. This happens when a patient is going fast, then suddenly stops, and a piece of floppy bowel, like the ileum, keeps moving while its connection, the cecum, is mostly fixed. The bowel can tear at this area.
Nasty. How do we diagnose these, especially if the patient isn't immediately crashing?
For diagnosis in a stable patient, a CT with IV intravenous contrast is your go-to. You're specifically looking for signs like free air outside the bowel, mesenteric stranding, inflammation in the fatty tissue supporting the intestines, or unexplained free fluid. Also remember, serial abdominal exams are important in these patients, so you have to keep re-examining these patients to look for a change in clinical status that may alert you to an injury in the abdomen.
And what about the treatment? Once you've got it locked down, what's the move?
Treatment for a confirmed hollow viscous injury is typically an exploratory laparotomy. During surgery, you'll debride any devitalized tissue and then either close the injury directly or resect the damaged segment and anastomose, reconnect, the healthy ends. If the bowel looks questionable or if the patient is unstable, you might even consider a diversion with an ostomy.
What's the biggest trap medical students fall into with these small bowel injuries?
The absolute classic trap is assuming a normal CT scan rules out a bowel injury. It doesn't. Delayed perforation is classic. So if the patient's pain worsens after that initial normal scan, you must repeat the imaging or consider exploration. Don't get caught slipping on that one.
Moving on to another pathology, duodenal and pancreatic injuries. What's the typical presentation here, and what's the common mechanism that makes us think of this injury?
This injury immediately conjures the image of a child hit by a bicycle handlebar, that blunt force to the upper abdomen. But this may be worded differently on your test, such as a child falls out of a tree and hits a branch across the upper abdomen.
Gotcha. So what's happening internally? What's the pathophysiology?
The mechanism is a retroperitoneal crush against the spine. Remember, the duodenum and pancreas are primarily retroperitoneal. This crushing force can lead to contusions, hematomas, or even pancreatic duct transection, meaning the pancreatic duct gets completely severed.
How do we really diagnose these if amylase isn't totally reliable?
For diagnosis, you're looking at a CT scan. If you suspect a duct injury, you might need more specific imaging like an ERCP, endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography, or an MRCP, magnetic resonance cholangiopancreatography. As you noted, serum amylase is often nonspecific and can be unreliable, so don't hang your hat on it alone.
And for treatment, does it vary based on which part is injured?
Absolutely. A common diagnosis is the development of a duodenal hematoma that causes an obstruction. For a simple duodenal hematoma, conservative treatment with a nasogastric tube for decompression and TPN for nutritional support might be enough. Given enough time, the hematoma will be reabsorbed and the obstruction will improve. If a pancreatic duct transection occurs at the neck of the pancreas, a distal pancreatectomy is often indicated. Injuries to the head of the pancreas are more challenging and usually require drainage, sometimes followed by a Whipple procedure later.
What's the trap to avoid with duodenal and pancreatic injuries?
The number one trap is relying on amylase alone for diagnosis. That's a classic shelf exam move to trip you up. A missed duct injury can have severe consequences, so always push for definitive imaging if suspicion is high.
All right, now for another pathology. Let's connect the dots to something we see often in the ER, the seatbelt sign and chance fracture pair.
This is where things get interconnected. The presentation is that unmistakable transverse abdominal bruise, the seatbelt sign. When you see that, it screams high risk for a small bowel injury, but also, critically, a spinal flexion distraction fracture known as a chance fracture. This is the seatbelt triad of injuries.
So it's not just a bruise, it's a major warning sign. What's the pathophysiology?
The pathophysiology is straightforward. The lap belt hyperflexes the spine and compresses the bowel against it during a rapid deceleration. This shears the spine and crushes the bowel.
Yikes. How do we make sure we don't miss either component, especially that spinal injury? What's the diagnosis protocol?
For diagnosis, you must get a CT of the abdomen and the spine. The abdomen can look fine, but you could have a significant spinal injury.
And for treatment?
For the small bowel injury, it's typically an early diagnostic laparotomy and repair. For the spine, they might need a TLSO, thoracolumbosacral orthosis, brace, or even posterior fixation, depending on the severity of the fracture.
What's the ultimate trap here that could lead to a patient catastrophe?
The trap here is not fully investigating the abdomen and the spine with a CT scan when you see the abdominal seatbelt sign.
All right, team, let's wrap this up with 5 high-yield facts.
High-yield fact 1. For hollow viscous injuries, remember that a normal CT scan does not rule out a delayed perforation. These patients may need serial abdominal exams.
2. When evaluating for duodenal and pancreatic injuries, the biggest trap is relying on serum amylase alone for diagnosis, as it's often nonspecific and can miss a critical duct injury.
3. The presence of a seatbelt sign, a transverse abdominal bruise, is a major red flag for both small bowel injuries and a chance fracture. Don't miss the seatbelt triad of injuries.
4. Duodenal hematoma can lead to obstruction. The treatment is nasogastric tube and TPN. The treatment is not the OR.
5. It is difficult to identify bowel injuries in blunt trauma. Look for free fluid or stranding, which means inflammation, on a CT scan with IV contrast for these patients.
All right, team, we will see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.